anniversary Sunday, I thought sermon framework's a little different. On the back of your bulletin, you have the sample of the program from 1905. Now, also, as part of that bulletin, and we didn't put this in your insert today or on the order of service, but on the back of that program, there's a phrase that says, strangers made welcome. And so just like on our current bulletin, we have in the bottom left-hand corner of the front page, every week, seeking the peace and well-being of the city. But 113 years ago, it was strangers made welcome, which I think is a really cool, interesting, hospitality-filled phrase. So before we reflect on the scriptures and do a bit of ruminations together on this anniversary Sunday, I want you to stand up and make someone welcome near you so that we can continue this posture of welcome and hospitality. I have some words from a few of our previous pastors who wanted to send words of blessing and encouragement to us. The first is from Reverend Cam Yates, who was a minister here 1990 till 1990. I couldn't quite figure out how many years he was with us. Four? So 1990, 1994. He and Joan write this. I consider it a blessing to have been invited to send greetings to you on this 125th year of ministry and service toward the peace and well-being of the city. I do also on behalf of Joan. Yours has been a ministry of presence, a presence of compassion, justice, and mercy. It was a privilege for Joan and me to have been part of your good work from 1990 to 1996. Such fond memories remain with us to this day. Joan and I were reminiscing recently and remembering the many ways in which the congregation not only looked outward to the larger community, but also to the growing needs of the congregation as a whole. One of the many projects during our years was the sewing of the banners that still adorn the front of the church to this day. The congregation had affirmed their ministry as a response to Jeremiah's plea to seek the peace and well-being of the city. As it was in the beginning of the past 125 years, so it remains to this day. The project involved men, women, and young people of all ages coming together in teams to cut and stitch the banners. It was a truly intergenerational project. Many new relationships were formed during those weeks. The beauty of the arts design had come alive at the fingerprints of everyone who had participated, and thus this too became a reflection of people coming together to express something of the heart of our common cause as members of the wider community of Edmonton. An additional comment that I would like to make is I want this congregation to know how it ministered to my own life. During those years, I deepened my interest in spiritual formation, a focus that would become the primary focus of my ministry as I moved from pastoral work to program development and teaching at Cary Theological College. As well, during my years at First, I was given the opportunity to become more involved in the city's interfaith network, serving persons afflicted by HIV/AIDS. The concern and friendships that developed at that time have grown into our own involvement with a community of faith that is both affirming and inclusive of LGBTQ+ persons. So, to all of you at First Baptist Edmonton, greetings. Joan and I will be celebrating 125 years of your ministry and engagement with the city, and do so as well with deep gratitude for the imprint you have left upon our lives. May peace and well-being be your way in the years that open before you. That's Cam and Joan Yates. Some words from Gary Nelson and Carla Nelson. Gary was the senior minister here from 1988 to 1999. Greetings to you all. We are having great difficulty believing that 25 years have passed since we together celebrated the 100th anniversary of First Baptist Church. The memories of joyful activities that surrounded the century celebrations, those of renovations to the building, and the creation of the amazing fabric hangings continue to sustain us. Gary also continues to celebrate the fact that he stitched the thumb of the dancer as part of his quilting sojourn. There you go. We think of those times fondly, and we remember the kind of people that made it all possible. The Myrtles and Georges opened their hearts so that newcomers could call First home. It was a time of God's movement amongst us, and we all just got on for the ride. The children in Carla and Ann Bellamy, 2 to 3 year old Sunday school class, are all grown up, and we love hearing news of how they are now living their lives of faith. In particular moments of missing you all, we listen to the CD, Prayers for Our Times, and let the FBC choir nourish us once again. We know that God's blessing has been sustained in FBC over its 125 years and affirm his delight in this celebration, a celebration of a rich and creative history of seeking faith, life, and the well-being of the city of Edmonton. We anticipate with you what God has in store for you and through you in the years to come. That's Reverend Dr. Gary and Dr. Carla Nelson. And then finally, our interim minister, who passed the baton to me in 2006-2008, was Reverend Chris Rolson, and his wife Dot were a part of our community. They were members of this church from 1989 to 2014, and then he was interim minister here 06 to 08. He writes, "Dear friends at Edmonton First Baptist Church, I often recall the opening remarks by a guest preacher some 11 years ago who says, the first time I came to First Baptist and sat in the congregation waiting for the start of the service, she began, I had a strong sense that this church was deeply loved by God. A church deeply loved by God. For 125 years, that love has been evident in the deep bonds of affection within the congregation. God's love has been evident in the church ministering beyond the walls of its buildings, in the city, the country, North America, Africa, Latin America, and Europe. That ministry has included social justice advocacy, acts of charity, disaster response, and empowering the poor. A church deeply loved by God. And I noticed that it was even during the challenging times that God's love was especially evident. It was evident in the commitment of a dwindling, aging membership who refused to abandon God's call to downtown. It was evident in unexpected, timely financial gifts and windfalls. It was evident in the repeated arrival of the right person with the right gifts or skills at the right time to help the church through crisis moments. And it was evident in the timely words of a guest preacher, assuring the congregation that even in discouraging times, First Baptist was deeply loved by God. A church deeply loved by God. Along with Dot and my son Tim, I have always been grateful for the impact of First Baptist Church on our lives during 25 years as members, including 2 years as interim minister. At First Baptist, we experienced the love of God and of friends, the nudging of the Spirit, meaningful worship, and opportunities to grapple with questions, to grow in faith, and to serve in ministries. It is my prayer that as you celebrate the 125th anniversary and as you move into the future, you will continue to be aware that First Baptist Church is indeed deeply loved by God. These are great words of encouragement for us, and I will simply add a few reflections and ruminations that I was sharing with church council even this week, and so their hearts are behind these words as well. We are a unique church. We're a blessed church. We're this traditional liturgical Baptist church, and there's only 3 out of our 170 or so in our denomination in these days. So we're rare. We have this gift of symbol-filled worship, paying attention to the themes of the Christian year, being a people who honor the hymns of our faith, the old prayers, beautiful time-tested music, and the creeds and confessions of the saints. And so we will be a church that continues that story. And hopefully that's good news for you. Now, I find that sometimes our traditional liturgical approach to worship might give the first-time visitor this idea that we are very traditional and conservative in our Christianity. But if you've been around this church over the past decades, you'll note that this has been a pretty broadly theological group of people and God believers and Jesus followers. Over the past few years, I've been using the phrase strong, generous Christians. And I borrowed that phrase from Brian McLaren, a Christian writer. Strong, generous Christians. Christians who, yes, are robustly devout to our faith and the Christian story, but also Christians who are so radically welcoming and generous that they can have conversations that are ecumenical and interfaith and with people of all walks and stages and talks of life. We follow this example of Jesus who says, "Come, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus' invitation is given without prejudgment or shame or offering bad news first. It's given to all people, all times. The invitation is simple, and we desire to echo it. Come. And as generous welcomers, we find that being Baptist can actually be an asset to us. Though Baptists in North America sometimes get labeled with all kinds of crazy stuff, we try to keep in mind that globally, Baptists cover a lot of the spectrum of grace and mercy and justice and love. We try to keep the tent large, so to speak, holding to these primary tenets of Baptist distinctives such as Jesus is Lord, soul liberty, and the autonomy of the local church. And if you've been around First Baptist Church for years or decades, I think you would say that we have been a congregation that has tried to keep that tent large, trying to be a prophetic voice in this season where the church has moved from the center of society to more the margins of society. We have sought to be a voice from the margins. And that's where we follow this Jeremiah prophetic word that we've heard today, Jeremiah 29:7, seeking the peace and well-being of the city. In that ancient story, in that ancient text, the people of God in that season of ministry and service had been exiled, away from their home, displaced. And they cried out to God saying, "God, don't you care about us? What do you want us to do?" And God responded and said, "I want you to settle down, hunker down, be in that place where I have placed you. Pray for its welfare, pray for its peace, pray for its shalom." Because as you pray for the peace and shalom and well-being of the city, so therein will you find your peace, your shalom, and your well-being. And so that's why we hang on to that vision and mission statement, because we believe it still works in 2018. We will be those people who continue to cry out of God's justice, his love, his mercy, his radical welcome to all. An ethos statement that I've been reading over the past couple of years, I think, describes it well in what we're continuing to try to build here. This is from Philip Yancey's book, Vanishing Grace. He shares of this ethos statement that he found from a church in Denver. Married, divorced, and single here, it's one family that mingles here. Conservative and liberal here, we've all got to give a little here. Big and small here, there's room for us all here. Doubt and believe here, we can all receive here. LGBTQ and straight here, there's no hate here. Woman and man here, everyone can here. Whatever your race here, for all of us, grace here. In imitation of the ridiculous love Almighty God has for each of us and all of us, let us live and love without labels. So I think of this bulletin from 1905, strangers made welcome. And if I was to tweak that, I might just add a 113-year post-edit. Strangers made welcome, all of us ridiculously loved.